preach and teach tonight on a Christian's spiritual exercise. A Christian's spiritual exercise. You know, exercise is important. Regular exercise is important if you're going to keep your body in shape. Everything that, you know, if you don't use your muscles, they will begin to decline, right? They'll begin to decrease in strength. And, you know, it's important that we have bodily exercise. And in a similar way, it's important that we have spiritual exercise. Spiritual exercise. We're going to start, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but the key verses are found in 7 through 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. And here the Apostle Paul says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, and godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Throughout the letters the Apostle Paul wrote, he consistently uses metaphors that relate to athletics, especially running. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27, Galatians 5, 7, Philippians 2, 16. And I think the picture here that the Apostle Paul is painting is that of a Greek gymnasium full of places to exercise and run and wrestle. It was a place where the body could get exercise, where you could compete against others. But if you look at verse number 8 or verse number 7, Paul begins by telling Timothy what to avoid, and then he says, "Do this though, Timothy, exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, a little bit of culture, understanding of Greek culture is in line here, appropriate here. Greek culture was a very body-conscious culture. If you study the Greeks, they were very rigorous and regular and careful in their exercise. Greeks, of course, one of the first wrestling, right, and running, right? Where'd the marathon come from, right? A Greek, basically, I can't remember the name of the guy, the Greek guy that ran the 20-some miles, right? That we call a marathon today. But all that came from a Greek culture. Their motto was body culture. And the truth of it is, we see that somewhat today in our society, right? A real focus and consciousness about health and about body. And it becomes really, for some people, the center of what they do. And I'm not saying it's wrong. You should care for your body. I'm trying to lose weight myself, right? And on a pretty rigorous weight loss plan. And so that's important that you take care of your body that God gave you. But it cannot be the center of your attention. It can't just be the thing that you focus on. The Christian, and what Paul's telling Timothy, is that you must have a soul-centric culture, taking care of the soul. The Greek is all about physical exercise. Yours is spiritual exercise. Their concern is what makes the body well, what develops the body. Your objective, Timothy, must be to keep your soul fit and to develop it unto godliness. Now, this development of the soul in godliness leads to being a godly person, right? Just like exercise of one's muscles leads to someone being strong, a strong person. And so it's essential that we grow in maturity, that we grow in Christ-likeness. Now, it's important to notice here, the apostle does not, right, give an attitude of despising bodily exercise. In fact, he says there in verse number 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." Now, the key there is not that that's a bad thing. He's not saying, well, there's very little profit, so don't do it. But rather, he's saying in comparison, right, to godliness, it's of little profit, right? But there is profit in exercise. Every Christian, there's no Christian here that should neglect their body, right? It's important that we take care of ourselves, the temple that God has given us. You should live wisely. You know, Christians should be some of the healthiest folks out there. And, you know, not smoking, not drinking, right? The problem with a lot of Christians, including myself, is we like to eat too much. We don't like to exercise as much as we should. But the truth of it is, there really should be, a Christian should be healthy. They should be getting the right amount of rest and the right amount of exercise, keeping the body fit. But Paul's emphasis is not on that. He says, bodily exercise has some profit. But comparatively to godliness, it's of little profit. If you had a choice, pick being godly versus being muscle man. Right? I think is what he's saying, if I can sum it up. The body is only the body, no matter how much you exercise. You don't get to take it with you. Right? God's not, there's no weightlifting competitions in heaven, Brother DJ. I'm sorry. No Arnold Classic in heaven. You know, God's not going to get to say, man, show me your biceps. Show me your lats. You know, show me your washboard abs. God doesn't, you know, he cares in the sense that we take care of ourselves, but that's not what is most important. And so, it's the body's the body. It's the house in which our soul lives. Spiritual exercise profits and benefits the soul, the person who lives in the body. One preacher renders it this way, in verse 7, train yourself for godly living. You know, some people just think being godly just happens. It's magic. You know, that there's some like special Bible dust. Ah, and now you're godly. It doesn't happen like that. Right? You know, some people think, well, a pastor, just by the practice of osmosis, oh, wow, I'm even more spiritual now. No, it takes exercise. Brother DJ probably knows better than any of us what it takes, right, to build muscle, right? Does it happen overnight? Many, many weeks, even months, right? And it's a continual process, right? It's not something that, you know, I wish, man, you should have seen me, Elizabeth, when I was 18, 19 years old, man, how strong I was. You know, wrestling. I should get some old pictures out. Boy, you'd be impressed. So what happened? What happened? Yeah, it fell down. Right? I mean, I remember when I was wrestling and I was playing college soccer, you know. I mean, we were running. We were weightlifting regularly, right? When I went to Bible college, it was required that you work out. And it's pretty harsh nowadays standards, but it was good. You know, but what happened when I didn't have to do that anymore? I didn't. And you say, Dad, could you go play 90 minutes of soccer right now? I could probably play 5 minutes, and then I would collapse on the field going, Now I'm working to change that. But exercise, bodily exercise, requires persistence and consistency. And it is no different for godly exercise. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just take place. Spiritual exercise takes time. Another commentator says it this way, take time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. I want to give three thoughts and then we'll get 2 points tonight, all right? Number one, it's a personal matter. Notice what Paul says to Timothy. He says, exercise the church, exercise your neighbor, exercise thyself. It's something that you have to do for yourself. Now, part of that might be coming to church. Part of that might be fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. But you have to make the choice to do it. Right? It's like when people bought those, remember those belt machines where you wrap them around? Yeah, and it's, you know, all you have to do, or people will buy those contraptions, right? They're like electrodes, like all you have to do is put this on your body and zap yourself and it'll make you lose weight. And I wish it was that easy. The truth of it is, you have to exercise yourself. Look at verse 16 of the same chapter. Here Paul says to Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Who's he telling to take heed? He says, you. He says, Timothy, it's not my job to pay attention to you. You have to take care of yourself. Number two, it is a profitable matter. He says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. In verse 8, we're told that this exercise is profitable unto what? All things. The here and the there, right? Heaven and earth. Verse 8 tells us that it's profitable for the now and for the life to come. How profitable it is to live a godly life. Think about it. Right? And it's not just profitable now. It's not just a blessing now, but it'll surely bear fruit in heaven. Number three, it's a progressive matter. Exercise. It's a continual, active, right, voice. Do it. And do it again. And do it again. And don't stop doing it. It takes patience. It takes hard work. It takes discipline to achieve godliness. Struggling with temper? You have to work at it. With the help of God. But I've yet to find in Scripture where God just simply says, pray and I'll take your sin away. Have you found any Scripture like that? No. But I see that we're to what? We're to work at it. DJ, can you check the back? I think I heard somebody come in. So this leads to the question, how are we to train ourselves? Huh? Wouldn't it be easy just to get some weights, spiritual weights? What are the exercises that we need to engage in to get spiritual fitness? Now, there's not only exercise, spiritual exercise that needs to be done individually, but there's spiritual exercise that we do corporately, and we'll talk about that tonight as well. But some Christians, because they're homebound, don't have that opportunity. But if you do, you should take advantage of it. Number one, how are we to exercise ourselves privately? Number one, we ought to enter in, right, and participate in that secret place of prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, turn there if you would with me. Matthew 6, 6. Listen to this scripture. Jesus instructs the disciples and those listening to the Sermon on the Mount. He says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let me read it again. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall what? Reward thee openly. This is your first exercise, to be alone with the Father, exercising yourself in that secret place of prayer, in the presence of the Heavenly Father, communing with Him, Psalm 4:4, receiving His pardon, John 8, verses 10 through 11, His cleansing, 1 John 1:9, His rest, Matthew 11:28 through 30, and listening to His voice, Luke 10:39. Do you have a regular time of prayer with the Lord? You're missing out on a vital exercise. Number two, by devotional reading of God's Word. By devotional reading of God's Word. If you're to get strong, if you're going to grow muscles physically, you have to eat the right food, right? Well, it'd be nice if you just could eat junk food and be, you know, Mr. Adonis. It's not how it works. In fact, you eat junk food, this is what you get, okay? I guarantee you, if you go and you meet an Olympian, a weightlifter, an Olympian weightlifter, his diet is very regimented. Everything that goes in his mouth is carefully thought out. Why? Because he has a goal, doesn't he? And that's to build and maintain his muscles. And as a Christian, we have to have the right diet if we're going to be strong Christians. Look at 1 Timothy 4:6. He says, nourished up. Now, what's nourishment, right? Right. Well, usually we use the word nourishment talking about food. Here he's talking about spiritual nourishment. Nourished up, the last part of verse 6, in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Are you a well-nourished Christian? Are you regularly feeding, Timothy, on the Word of God? Are you listening? Put your legs down and listen. The Bereans were more noble, the Bible says, than the Thessalonians. Why? Because when Paul preached to them, they searched the Scriptures to vet what he said, to see whether the things he said were true. How about you? How about you, David? William? My mom, she'd always tell my dad, you know, express worry to my dad that us boys growing up wouldn't have enough to eat, or we'd forget to eat. My dad always said to her, she said, don't worry about them boys. They'll eat. They'll take care of themselves. Why? Because that's just part of nature, isn't it? I don't worry about my sons. My wife said, did you all eat? If they did, and then they'll eat when they're hungry, right? Now, the truth of it is, we need to eat the Word of God. We need to, right, take of the Word of God. We need to feed on it. We need Him to speak to us. We need to receive His guidance. We need to see His wisdom. We need to receive His comfort, His illumination, all that we need for godly living. Number three, we are to practice the presence of God. What does that mean? Go to the next couple books over, 1 Thessalonians to your left there. Look at chapter 5, verse 17. No doubt you've read this verse. It's pretty obvious what it means. But let's think about what this really means. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says what? Pray without. Now, let's think about the implications of that. Now, a lot of people will mock this and say there's no way you can pray without ceasing, constantly be praying. But why not? Let me back up a little bit. What is it? Who are we praying to? Andrew, who are we praying to? God. And if we're praying to God, that means we believe that He is what? He's present. They say that it's a mark of genius to talk to yourself. Take comfort in that, Brother DJ. He and I were talking the other day about, you know, talking to yourself. I talk to myself all the time. I sit there and dialogue all the time with myself. People think I'm crazy. It's a mark of genius for the DJ. But why do people think you're crazy if you talk to yourself? They don't see anyone else. Who are you talking to? Right? Now follow me. If I believe God is present with me at all times and that I can have a very personal relationship with Him, it is not all that unusual to what? Be speaking to Him constantly. Be chatting with Him constantly. To be asking of Him things constantly. And that's what it means by practicing living in the presence of the Lord. He's here. That's a humbling thought. And I know you know this. This is not earth-shattering new. But maybe it's a new thought about this verse that you haven't heard before. Think about it. To pray without ceasing is to practice to live like you lived every moment in the presence of God. So much so that it's natural for you to be dialoguing, for you to be praying constantly. Because guess who's always with you? God. So, going back to our thought here, how does that help us spiritually exercise? Because you're constantly aware of His presence. You're constantly living in fellowship. That's what the word fellowship means with, right? With the Lord. What happens with your, you know, okay, let's say you stop talking to yourself and you're with a friend. What are you generally doing when you're with a friend? You're fellowshipping, you're talking, you're communicating. Who's always with you? God. So it's only natural to live in His presence, to live in fellowship with Him. Right? Let me try to bring this home a little more, David. Let's say that you and you have a friend. Let's say Evan's your friend, right? Now, let's say that you like to be mean or you like to destroy Evan's toys. Right? And when he wasn't around, you go over to his yard and you take a baseball bat to his guns and all his things. Now, would you do that with him standing right next to you? No. Right? Because you're in his presence, aren't you? And he probably would not be very happy, would he? Yet when he's not with you, maybe you're mean to his animals or you know, are rough on his stuff. Right? I remember as a kid, I certainly drove the car differently when my dad was with me than when he was not. Right, Andrew? Andrew's going to be 16 here in 3 short months. A little less than 3 short months. I hope, Andrew doesn't know yet, but I'm getting one of those trackers to put in the car. I love technology, don't you, Andrew? I can see how far he goes. I can see where he goes. It's great, Brother Robert. I can't wait. I can see if he's drag racing up and down State Avenue. I know, watch. Brother DJ is going to... Literally, Andrew. But I did behave differently when my dad was in the car than when he wasn't. I treated the car differently. I would rev it up a little more. Right? Now, a lot of times we walk like God isn't walking with us. We use language that if He was physically, visibly present with us, we wouldn't dare use, would we? Do you see what I mean by living in the fellowship of the presence of God? How will that help you? You're aware that He is present, and you don't want to do anything that hurts Him. Practice it. Tomorrow, practice it. Try to maintain an awareness that God is walking with you, that He's there as you're pulling those cooling units out of those locomotives, that He's there as you're helping folks empty, right, their things at the transfer station. That He's there, Andrew, as you're on your computer doing what you do. As He's there, right, Christy, as you're around the house doing laundry and caring for the kids. That He's walking with you. Think that'll help you? Yeah. Let me give you the second point here. What are ways that we should exercise ourselves corporately or together? Number one, by attending public worship. Do you realize that Jesus was in the habit of being in church? Go to Luke chapter 4. And people say, well, you know, I just worship out in the woods. That's not scriptural. Well, I worship at home. That's not scriptural. You know, a New Testament church has different things, right? You know that. DJ, you can't just get together with two other people and call yourself a church. Church requires, right, that there be ordinances. A church requires, right, that there be officers. A church requires, right, all these things. That there be organization. Now, you can get together in fellowship with someone. That's certainly a blessing. But you can't call yourself a church. Luke 4, look at verse number 16. The Bible says here, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." Where was Jesus on the day of worship? He was in church. That was where he needed to be. "Well, you know, Pastor, we just don't have time." It's an exercise you need. And I've been challenging. You say, "Well, Pastor, does that mean we can't ever take a vacation?" That's not what I'm saying. But the Lord's Day is the Lord's Day no matter where you're at. You say, "Pastor, what if we're in the middle of the woods and the nearest church is 100 miles away?" Then you best have your worship on the Lord's Day. Right there in the woods. Put Him first. How vital, how important it is to do that. And you know, there's a danger of getting out of that habit. It doesn't take much. There are many Christians who forsake the people of God, the house of God. They attend infrequently. They don't recognize the privilege, the benefit of meeting together with other Christians to worship the Lord. And there's a lot of reasons to stay away. There's a lot of distractions, right? Why not to come? I appreciate this about my dad. When he got saved, we went to church every Sunday, unless we were providentially hindered by sickness or weather. We traveled, we were in church. Every Sunday. That drilled deep, right, in my heart, the importance of being in church. I strive to do that with my children. We're going to be in church every Sunday. I don't care where we're at. We're going to be in church. And the rare time that we can't find a church that's suitable, we're going to have worship together because it is the Lord's Day. Why? Because you and I need that exercise. May we have the attitude that David had in the Psalms where he said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of God." Not dragging in. You kids listening? You listening, Timothy? When you complain about how long the preaching is or how, hey, when you complain, is that a godly attitude? Is that a Christ-like attitude? No, you need it. I remember one preacher saying, no matter how far you get backslidden from the Lord, don't stop going to church because there's an opportunity to be reached. Number two, we're to exercise our corporately by participating in the Lord's table. Now, we do it a minimum of once a year, but I'm not opposed if the Lord lays on my heart and the heart of this church to do it more than once a year. It helps us to, right, remember. It helps us to recognize, right, His body. What is His body? What's the representation of His body on this earth? Brother Robert, you know? Brother DJ? Anybody? The church. This is His body. And the Lord's table is for His body, for the New Testament church. By the way, there's no such... saying local church is like saying wet water or water. Church is a local called out assembly. There's no such thing as a universal church. It's like being saying, right, that there's dry water. Is there any such thing as dry water? There's no such thing as a universal local church, universal local assembly. And the things, the Lord's table, God gave to the church to celebrate. The first church, right, were those disciples that He had gathered. He founded His church. The church didn't start on the day of Pentecost. It started when Christ founded it. They practiced baptism. They practiced the Lord's table. You say, "Pastor, who was the first pastor of the first church?" Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a pastor like Him? The true, the great shepherd, instead of just the under-shepherd. Thankfully, our church is faithful to be involved in the Lord's sake. Number three, by engaging in specific ministry, we are saved to serve. A lot of people take, but never give back. What are you doing to serve the Lord? We just did some this afternoon. What a blessing. That's a good way to give back. But what else, right? What else can we do to give back? We're saved to serve, and we're to serve in accordance with the specific will of God. It's exercise. Many Christians are lazy, or they're spiritually lazy. They're chasing the almighty dollar, right? Versus saying, my most important thing is my spiritual well-being, spiritual health. Let me give you some final thoughts here. If you're going to exercise yourself spiritually, regularly and sufficiently, number one, you have to have a holy resolve. It takes habits. You got to resolve, Andrew, to have the right attitude. It doesn't just happen. You got to resolve to read your Bible. You got to resolve to pray. You got to resolve to be in church, right? If you just sort of let it happen, it doesn't. You have to be willing to sacrifice. You got to be willing to sacrifice your time, worldly pleasure, right? The things that you like to do physically and that appeal to your flesh. You got to say, no, more important that I exercise, right? Thirdly, it takes continual discipline. Doesn't, you know, and a lot of Christians are like that, right? It's a very cyclical, up and down spiritual living. What you want to strive for is pick the one thing you need to work on this week and work on it, work on it, work on it. Don't get overwhelmed. You say, Pastor, there's a lot of areas where I'm failing the Lord. Yeah. But you can't fix them all necessarily this week. Struggling to read your Bible? Struggling to pray? Make a habit this week. I'm going to pray every day for 10 minutes. Just do it. And then the next week, I'm going to pray every day for 10 minutes. And then the next week, because guess what it takes? It takes discipline. Struggling to read your Bible? Same thing, right? Struggling to serve? I've told you guys my testimony about going out every week, and I failed twice this year, to be candid. But I'm not giving up. I resolved this year, Brother Robert, I said to myself, I said, I know that I need to be a better pastor. But if people go with me or not, I need to go out and I need to spread the gospel message every week. So much so that that one Saturday, poured out rain. People must have thought we were crazy. You know why I did that though, Brother Robert? Not because I'm sadistic. I didn't really want to be out there either. I didn't want to go home. I was sopping wet. But discipline. Because I know my flesh, right? And how easy it is to say, oh, it's too cold, it's too wet, I'm too busy, right? Brother DJ, you probably working out as much as you probably, right? It's easy. No one wants to do that. Don't get overwhelmed, though. I think some Christians just get overwhelmed. Maybe they get themselves in a spiritual, right? They're, you know, like I am, 90 pounds overweight. I could easily get overwhelmed by that and just say, what does it even matter? I'm just going to be a fatso. But guess what it takes? Just taking today. I'm going to do what I need to do today. And then guess what? Then tomorrow, I'm going to do what I need to do tomorrow. And if you're overwhelmed, you say, Pastor, I'm failing the Lord in X, Y, and Z. Take X this week and work on it. Ask God for His grace. God, I want to do better this week. And work on it. Make a habit. Be disciplined. Train yourself to be godly. Those godly people you meet, it didn't just happen. They had to work at it. Hope that was an encouragement. Let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, what a blessing to gather, to study Your Word, to take just practical things like the message tonight and be able to apply them and learn from them. Thank You, Father, for the privilege of being a Christian. And Lord, what an honor it is to serve You and to be saved. Bless us now, Lord. I pray that we would work to spiritually exercise ourselves this week. And Father, if we're falling short in areas of our lives where we're not really exercising, Lord, spiritually, that we'd pick those areas up and we'd work on them one by one and discipline ourselves and build a habit of godliness. Bless now this time. Bless as we are dismissed and go our separate ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Anything before we leave tonight? Brother Robert?
Vanessa wanted me to share with everybody that she really misses everyone. And,
Yes, we sure miss her as well. And we will keep her and Cole and yourself in prayer. All right. Nothing else? Let's be dismissed. Lord bless you. Wednesday night, Lord willing. Fine. Does he have a hard time spelling? Oh boy, your brother DJ's got an alternative title. Or better known as?
Wow.
So what I...